You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. It is a California tradition, whether you like it or not. Every year, just as the weather starts to warm, the sun sets a little later in the day. Springtime in California is usually when a lot of drivers get lighter in the pocketbook. We're talking about gas prices. Each year around this time, day by day, the price of gas starts to go up and it keeps going up. We hear the term summer blend as the culprit for the annual gas price spike, but what exactly is it? And why do we have to suffer at the pump? We're going to get answers to that in just a minute, as well as why the electric car industry is starting to see some cracks. But first, we want to welcome John Traynor with AAA Northern California, who's tapped into gas prices. Thanks for joining us, John.
Well, thanks for having me.
Okay, so anyone who has gassed up recently has noticed a price increase at the pump. What are the current average gas prices in Sacramento?
Well, the average gas price across the state, $5.37. In Sacramento, you might wonder, where can I get such cheap gasoline? Sacramento is about $5.46 for regular, $5.31 for diesel.
How does that compare to prices from a month ago?
A month ago across the state, we saw $4.87. So it's been a sharp increase of about 50 cents on the gallon across the state.
When we look back a little further back, is this the same price that we were seeing a year ago this time?
You know, a year ago, we saw $4.88 a gallon. So where we were about a month ago, we saw this spring increase happen a little earlier across the country than we did last year.
Can you explain why gas prices, they tend to rise during the spring and then they do reach that peak during the summer months?
Yeah, spring is our favorite season for a lot of reasons. Gas prices is not one of them. We see an increase seasonally around the springtime. And there's a few reasons for that. One, demand is up. It is nicer weather, which gets a lot of us out of the house. Across the country, you see this demand for gasoline on the rise. In the state of California, one of the early adopters of the summer blend of gasoline. That's a more expensive form of gasoline. It's in the pumps right now. We've seen the increase happen. And then globally, we have global oil prices. The price of a barrel of crude oil is a little more than 50% of what you pay at the pump. Right now, that price is in the mid-80s, about $85 a barrel. That increases because of what's happening in Ukraine, what's happening in the Middle East, and those global oil prices can have a big impact on what you pay.
Okay, so when we talk about crude oil, though, that's an internationally set price. California, I've been a Californian my entire life, our gas prices are higher than when you go east in the United States. So why does California have higher prices? What are the other factors that contribute to this price increase?
Sure. You know, California buys most of their oil, the majority of it, from the Middle East. So those global oil prices have a big impact. Environmental regulation is another large reason, though. California has stricter regulations on emissions than other states. They need to make a cleaner burning form of gasoline. That's a more expensive thing for those refineries to make. And those prices fall on the consumer.
Yeah. And when these prices fluctuate, especially when they go up, it does impact how people spend and what people spend money on. So how have you seen high gas prices either in the past or maybe even this year influence consumer behavior, especially when we get to longer days, we get to the summer when families are on break? That does affect, I would imagine, wanting to go on a road trip.
It really does. I mean, but there's an interesting story there as well. In June of 2022 is when we saw those record high gas prices. We were leaving the pandemic restrictions. More people were allowed to travel and demand was up. Back then, this might be some shock for some people. It was $6.43 across the state. That's very expensive gasoline. It was the record price. And we changed the way we really lived our lives because of it. The long travel, those road trips, those planned vacations, they didn't go anywhere. In fact, we saw record numbers of travelers in 2022, 2023. We're likely going to see large numbers of travelers again as people are hungry to take those vacations that they couldn't. But everyday life changed. More people were carpooling. More interest was in electric vehicles. More people worked from home. More companies allowed people to work from home. We saw people really shift the way they traveled during their day-to-day life. But interestingly, it didn't change the way people traveled for vacations or maybe family reunions or holidays.
Yeah. And gas obviously isn't just for gas-powered vehicles. I mean, people also go to the airport, planes, they obviously use gas. And given that AAA, there's always updates on what the travel seasons look like. What does travel look like in 2024, you know, compared to 2020 when it completely like shut down and was nil?
You know, it's been interesting seeing travel rebound. If anyone out there is either planning their vacation or maybe they're in the tourism sector, we saw those numbers kind of rebound to the 2019 numbers, those pre-pandemic travel numbers. It's more expensive now. As you mentioned, the price of fuel is up, which means the price of your airline ticket is up, as airplanes, right, rely on the same kind of fuel or the same kind of oil that you're going to be picking up when you fill up your car. So it's a more expensive ticket, but certainly the interest is there. You're starting to see the way people travel, maybe they get a cheaper deal, or maybe they spend less money when they do travel. But you're seeing a lot of incentives from different countries or different cities or different destinations that want to see those tourists back. So there are sales to be had that kind of offset the price of getting them.
Finally, any tips you have for people that are planning their vacation, whether by road or air?
Be smart. Plan early, start to look for those prices as they do fluctuate. We always say about 2 months before you plan is really the best time to buy an airline ticket. Go through a travel agent. They really know how to find the deals, how to make that money stretch. And also on your daily life, hey, look for those gas prices. Download a gas price app. AAA has one you could check out before you leave your home, or before you leave your destination. You can find the cheapest gas prices around you, because you know from driving around, each gas station sets their own prices and you can find big swings there. Carpool when you can. And if you're going out for a lot of different trips in one day, try to do it in one swing rather than going back and forth to your house. We've all become smarter consumers. Keep being a smart consumer as we see these prices go up for the summer.
John Traynor is a spokesperson for AAA Northern California. Thanks, John.
Thanks, Vicki.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and today we're talking about those gas prices. They're going up, and why they spike around this time every single year, and what we can do to manage the financial impact, of course, that they have on our lives. One alternative is turning away from gas-powered vehicles, and Californians have been transitioning to electric vehicles, EVs, in record numbers. But there are signs that the industry may be facing a slowdown. Alejandro Lasso is a climate reporter for CalMatters, and has been following the business of EVs and hybrid car sales here in the state. Alejandro, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So California has some pretty big, bold ambitions about going electric, transitioning to electricity. Can you refresh our memory about when the Newsom administration's goals, what they are, and when they kick in for electric car sales?
Yeah, absolutely. That's absolutely right. So in terms of new car sales for passenger vehicles, the Newsom administration wants to see zero emission vehicles become a bigger and bigger share of the pie until 2035, when it'll be the whole pie. And that's when no gasoline powered cars can be part of the new sales mix. So that means automakers, they're going to need to gradually electrify their fleets, or for the new vehicles that they offer, or provide other kinds of zero emission cars. So the specific targets are beginning with 35% of 2026 models, then going up to 68% in 2030, and then again, like we just discussed, 100% for 2035 models.
And there have been more EVs on the road. You know, anytime you know you're on I-80 or Highway 50, how have EV sales, electric vehicle sales, been going in California?
Yeah, I would say they've been going relatively well and beyond expectations. The electric vehicle, the new sale share of the market in California, electric cars made up 25% of that new car market. At the end of last year, sales of electric cars in California hit a record high, up 29% from the past year. The thing was that in the fourth quarter, the sales of electric cars in California, while they still grew, they came in at a slower pace of growth than the previous year. So that's kind of a strange concept, like growth, but just slower growth. And so one quarter's number, obviously it can be influenced by a lot of different factors: inflation, general slowdown in the auto market, so on. But yet we also experience that slower sales growth in the final part of last year.
Even though that growth has been relatively strong, I mean, you said 25% of sales were EVs in that data. I was surprised to learn that you also reported that companies like Hertz, they decided to sell part of its electric vehicle fleet, and Ford, it was reducing its production of its F-150 Lightning electric pickup truck. Why are they doing that?
Yeah, exactly. So I would say we're probably in the midst of a transition to these electric cars. And there, I mean, excuse the pun, there'll likely be bumps in the road and shifts in what people want or expect out of an electric car, both in a rental vehicle and in just, you know, a car they buy for themselves. When it was originally introduced, that Ford electric F-150 was really popular. If you'll remember, there was like a 3-year waiting list for it. People were really jazzed about the idea of having this sort of mobile workhorse vehicle of sorts. But yeah, in January, the company said it was going to cut production, and that was in response to meet customer demand. So perhaps that initial enthusiasm wasn't as strong as they had expected. But then again, Ford reported sales across its electric vehicle fleet really surge at the start of this year. That's the first 3 months of this year. So I think that just underscores we've got a pretty fluid and pretty dynamic market with electric cars. You can't read too much into one particular anecdote or sales data. And then in terms of the action by the rental car company Hertz, it was selling a fleet. It was or selling, you know, a big portion of its fleet, and they said that part of the reason was price cuts from Tesla. The cars were a little bit, they found them at least difficult to repair. And interestingly, one of the reasons the CEO gave was that they were more likely to be involved in collisions.
Oh, I would imagine all of these, even though these are separate circumstances for different companies, they all are interconnected in some way for a bigger reason as to why there's this slowdown. What does this tell you, given that we have this ambitious goal for about a decade from now, 11 years from now? What does that tell you as a journalist that focuses on climate, that there was enthusiasm, but now we're seeing a slowdown in EV sales growth?
Yeah, I mean, I think really it's just something to keep an eye on as a journalist. I mean, California is still moving toward its meeting its goals. Public officials are all in. They say that electrifying the car fleet is a crucial way of reducing greenhouse gas emissions, which contribute to climate change, global warming. And I think also worth mentioning that they also believe that the use of these vehicles, or it's proven that these vehicles do reduce air pollution, which is a public health issue here in California, as we all know. And so I think just big picture, we're in the midst of a pretty big transition. It's going to take some time. We shouldn't draw too many conclusions from one quarter or one data point.
What challenges do you think legacy automakers face in this transition? Because that's a big lift. I mean, when we think of EVs, I mean, you can automatically think of Tesla, for example. But there are these legacy automakers, and these are national companies, right? They have to make this transition to meet California's goals. What challenges are you learning that they're facing?
Right. Well, I mean, they have set production lines and ways of building vehicles in certain ways. And certainly they have a lot of expertise in building internal combustion engines. And that's pretty different from battery technology. Nevertheless, most auto manufacturers, they've signaled that they are in this for the long haul. One recent sign of that was Stellantis, whose brands include Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, that they'll comply with California's zero emissions vehicle sales requirements through 2030, even if there is a change in administration, that's a federal administration, or because of some kind of court order. So I think car manufacturers are moving toward this adoption, though obviously there's tons of challenges that we could talk all day about.
Okay, so you have the buy-in there from more automakers, which I would imagine could bring down the cost. Because when we've talked about EVs in past years, I mean, they can be way more expensive than a gas-powered vehicle. What is the cost now, and is that still a barrier for a lot of drivers?
Yeah, generally speaking, electric cars are more expensive than a gas-powered car, but there are certainly rebates that are helping lower that cost, and both the federal government and California have offered rebates or tax incentives for people interested in buying a car.
There's also some concern about charging stations, especially in rural areas across the state. I mean, we just finished having a conversation about road trips. You know, where do charging stations stand, like the number of them in California, and is that still a challenge to overcome?
Yes, right. So, you know, as we discussed, California is doing really well in terms of at least its targets so far for new car sales and truck sales. But as you said, the state needs something like, or at least it says it needs something close to 250,000 non-private electric chargers in place by next year. That's an executive order from the former governor, Jerry Brown. And then looking ahead a little bit more, the state says it needs about a million of these non-private chargers. So that's the infrastructure we're talking about. And then 5 years after that, 2.1 million or so of these chargers. The state at the moment, they've built 105,000. So they're really far behind on getting the kind of public infrastructure that you want for people who aren't homeowners in California. And as we know, a lot of people live here in apartments, and as you mentioned, live in rural areas where they might be long distances from a place where they can juice up their cars.
Right. Yeah, finally, I mean, that just really hints to and gets back to, I mean, consumer confidence has to be there, right? People got to want to buy these cars, and more people need to buy these cars if we're going to meet this goal in 2035. And in recent years, especially during summer months, there have been power outages and blackouts, and there has been some concern about having confidence in the grid across the state. And then you now take in a lack of charging stations. Where do you think consumer confidence is when it comes to just not going hybrid or gas power, but all in on EVs?
I think we're in the midst of a transition, and I think I think California adoption of electric cars has shown that people are genuinely interested in the concept of driving an electric car. I mean, you have to remember this state is essentially the home of the electric car in many ways, and we have folks who are, you know, have that early adopter mindset. I'm not sure how much concern about a grid would concern an everyday shopper. I do think that the charging infrastructure is a real issue.
Alejandro, thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me.
Alejandro Lasso is a climate reporter for Cal Matters, updating us on the electric vehicle EV industry in California. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.